Today's daf from Masechet Yevamot, brought to you Me'eretz HaKedesh, is daf Ayin Tet, and we are in the middle of the exciting stories of how it came to be that the Givonim became the Nitinim. Remember that the Givonim were from the Chiviv, and they lived in Givon, and because they were unaware of the fact that any of the Shiva Amamim can actually be Megayer, and then nobody's going to wipe them out, Chas v'chalila. They thought that they had to fool the Jews into accepting them, and they pretended to be Gerim. They were interested. They came far away. They were interested in being Gerim. And because Klal Yisroel was Nishba Alehem, they couldn't claim that it was all a fake out, because it would have been a Chilul Hashem. And so we had a number of gezeras. Now, first of all, we found that Moshe Rabbeinu was gezer, and then we found that there was a gezer of Yehoshua, and then we found that there was a gezerah of David, and the story of David we were in the middle of. And I just want to remind you that there is a big machlokas about what the gezerah is that we're talking about over here, because remember the way that Rava ended up before, at the beginning of the sugya, was that he said, I made a big mistake. I thought that lo titchaten means that they have to be Jewish, because otherwise you can't say the words not to be mitchaten, because there's no chatnut. But it's talking about even after Gerut, the lo titchaten. So therefore, the pashtus would be that that's the way we end up. And the fact is that the Rabbeinu Tam actually paskins like that, that there's an Isser Chitun on the Shiva Amamim even after Geirut, in which case this whole discussion would not be in terms of the Isser Chitun, because that's a given. The only question would be whether they were Avodim. How did they become Avodim? And there we're talking about, but wasn't there already a Gezerah of Avdus? That was at the time of Moshe, and then Yehoshua was Gezer on them, and then David was Gozer even at a time where there wouldn't be a Beis HaMikdash. That's Rabbeinu Tam's approach. The approach of Rashi, the Rambam, and basically the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is that, in fact, there is no Iser of the Lo Titchaten and the Shiva Amamim after Geirut, and that the Gezerot that we're talking about over here are actually Gezerot of Chitun, so that there's no Iser D'oraita in the Chitun with the Netinim. Okay, a lot of discussion over here in the Tosis, various Shitas to bring Rayas to Rabbeinu Tam. In any event, as I say, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam paskin that we're talking about a Gezerah of Chitun, not just the Gezerah of Avdut. So anyway, we were in the middle of discussing why it was that David HaMelech found these Givonim to be unsuitable to be part of Klal Yisrael. So that was the story that we began with. And the first thing that we'd seen yesterday on Ayin Ches Amud Beis was that for the 3 years that there was this terrible famine, so David HaMelech finally figured out by going to the Urim V'Tumim that there were two inyanim. One inyan was that they had not been maspid sho'u properly, and the other inyan was that they were the fact that they had never taken care of the domim that was spilled by Shaul HaMelech. How was it spilled by Shaul HaMelech? The Gemara came out yesterday. The fact that they did not make any kind of accommodations to be certain that the Givonim would continue to have a Parnosa, because initially when the Givonim were given over to take care of Nov, when the Amizbeach was there, so then they were given a full support system because they were the ones that were taking care of Nov. But after Nov was destroyed by Shaul, they should have been very careful. Well, what are we going to do about these Givonim? And instead they left them hanging and let them starve. I mean, that was outrageous, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore for 3 years, all of Klal Yisrael starved. So therefore you're going to have to take care of that. That's where we were up to. And we got up to yesterday the question of how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, be Tovea Shaul for being so rotten that he spilled his blood and the whole bias of Shaul should be punished? And then the other hand, he's saying, you didn't give a good enough hesped on Shaul. Like, what? And the Gemara says exactly. That's the pshat, the wonderful limud that we learned yesterday, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anhoga is bedavka that way, that when he comes chas v'chalila to be done an adam, ba'asher mishpato, shampalo. That's where we dash not shampalo, but shampalo. That's where we remember where the pussy goes out of its way to teach us what was done right by this person. Amazing. Anyway, so we got up to the last line on Ein Chesamun Beis, and I just want to point out to you, this is a very fascinating ha'orah from Mepchias, that the only aspect that we do find in the Torah, in any detail, is the hesped on Shaul. So, like, what do you mean he wasn't nisbat gilchata? That's David's beautiful hesped, Yonatan and Shaul. It's so heart-wrenching. It's unbelievable. Every time you go up to the Gilboa, even today, you have this the same experience of the unbelievable pain of the loss of Shaul. So how can we say it wasn't Nisbat Kalacha? Nobody else we know of was Nisbat at all. So, like, this is not Nisbat Kalacha. He says an amazing answer. Amazing. Because when the Navi later, before the Churban, describes that what will be to those who still are Zeicha to a normal death before the attack of Bavel, so it says over there, Hoy Ach, Hoy Achot Yispedulach. So apparently, what kind of hesped is that? So apparently that is a sort of standardized hesped that you say for the Gedolei HaMalchus, right? So if that's the case, he wants to say that the very reason that it says Shelo Nispat Kehalacha is because David made the hesped on Shaul personal. It's the very fact that it was so emotional, that it was so personal, that's what is wrong with it. Why didn't he give him the hesped of a melech? Instead, he gave him the hesped of a lover. What? That's not the point. The point is you're supposed to be talking about him. Amazing pshat. Okay, anyway, so that was the amazing pshat of Maritz Chias. And now the question is, we continue today. Okay, so what are we going to do? Said David. Oh, we've got these two issues we have to take care of. Omar David. Okay, I can't do very much about Shaul, because Shaul, it's already 12 months after his death. Now, actually, it was over 30 years. It's 30 years after his death. But the point is that David is saying that the halacha is that once 12 months have passed, lav darkei lemispedei, it's improper to give a hesped after Yud Beis Chodesh. That's already, it's not that the Gemara learned out. So I can't do anything about that. But what we could do is call in these givonim, the nitinim, and we'll work it out with them somehow. I'll make it up to them. So how am I going to make it up to them? He calls them in. He offers them whatever you want. You know, now you want, what do they call that when you have to do the opposite of discrimination? You have to...
Reconciliation.
What's it called?
Reconciliation.
No. That. Yeah, I'm talking about we have to make up for what you did, so now you have to do the opposite of it.
Affirmative action,
right. Okay. So what can we do for you? We'll do whatever you want, you know? So when will you forgive us and stop throwing out all the statues and everything, and that way we can get back to life? So they say the most incredible thing. There's nothing you can give us but blood. No matter what you pay us, not good enough. Not for Shaul, not for his family. We don't have any claims, be Yisrael. All we want is blood. We want seven of his grandchildren, and we hang them up, and that will be the only revenge that's good enough for us. So David said, come on, I mean, that's crazy. Anyway, he's talking to them, he offers them this, he offers them that. It's never good enough. So Mifayez v'lob v'aysinu. Omar, so David says to himself, wait a minute here. There's shloshat simanim yesh bo umazo. There's three special signs of what it means to be a Ben Yisrael. And that is, they are rachmanim, they're baishanim, and they're gomlei chasadim. We know that from the pasuk. Rachmanim dichtiv, nitan lecha rachamim, v'richamecha v'irbecha. By shanim, dichtiv avur ti'ayirato al p'dechem. And remember, these are not steerers to the opposite midas that we find in Yisrael also. Remember, they're considered to be az shebu umais. And a baishan is the opposite of az. So again, those are completely different issues. Where it is that a person has to be az in terms of milchoma and in terms of doing the ratzon Hashem and so on, have az. But in terms of the awareness of one's own worth in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on, that's baishanim. And gomle chasadim, because it says, l'man asher yitzaved banavet betoach harav v'shomru derech Hashem. The derech Hashem that Avram Avinu committed to, for all of the future generations, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted as the defining characteristic of that he loves be Yisrael, is specifically the Derech Hashem, which begins with the stress on Ma'aseh Chesed. Therefore, says David, it makes sense that kol sheyesh bo shlosha simanim halalu ro'ui lehidavek b'umaso. If a ger comes along and has those kind of midas, so then it makes sense. Well, of course, that's a sign that his neshama is a nishmat ger, and that he was always there, and it was just a question of cracking off the cover that had been mamtzi his neshama in order to be mitzi all of the keach from where he came and to bring it into Yisrael. But he always had these midas, because we see that. But these givonim, they don't have that. And therefore, it's inappropriate that we should be mizdabik to them. Therefore, according to Rashi, this is very consistent. Because according to Rashi, we're going to aser bia b'kahal. According to Tosfos, anyway, they were aser lavo b'kahal. So therefore, the whole lashon over here, lidabek b'hem, it's a little bit off. Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, what it would mean is, so therefore, we need to make them avodim. And if they're avodim, then they'll be aser to marry because of Lo Yeh Kadesh. The other Rishonim argue there wouldn't be an Isra of Lo Yeh Kadesh with this type of... Anyway, whatever. But you can see how the sugya is neita most easily to understand here, that we're talking about Lidavek Lehem in terms of marriage. So therefore, the mashmaut is, if they don't have Shlosha Simanim Alalu, so then they should not be Roy Lidavek, and therefore he was Geyser. The Gemara doesn't talk that out, but obviously that's what it's coming to tell me. So what did he do? So vayikach ha-melech et shnei b'nei ritzpa bat ayah asher yaldah le-Sha'ul et armoni v'et mipiboshet v'et chameshet b'nei michal bat Sha'ul. So what did he do? He seemed to have selected he selected the ones that were going to be killed. So he takes the children of ritzpa bat ayah, and he takes the five children of Michal bat Sha'ul, Asher Yaldala Adriel ben Barzilai Mecholati, and those are the ones that he strings up, and their bodies have to remain hanging up, a tremendous bizoyan, and they remain hanging up the entire summer. So, by the way, this is just fascinating, because Dafka, the whole story of Ha'avarat HaMalchut from Sha'ul, you may recall, begins with Ritzpah bat Ayah. Ritzpah bat Ayah was a pilegesh to Sha'ul. And what happened was is that Ish-Boshet accused Avner, which was true, but he starts up with Avner and said, why did you sleep with my father's pilegesh? I mean, what's in his business? Because it's a pegam in the Malchus, a melech who uses a pilegesh. Nobody else is allowed to have. Anyway, Avner blew a gut, and he said, this is the way you treat me after everything that I did for Sha'ul, so now you have to bring up something I already did tshuva on. What are you bringing me up, the Avona Ishat? I'm going to give over the Malchus to David. That's how it all starts. So it's remarkable that it should be Ritzpah bat Ayah's children, Davka, that are the ones that David strings up. So the Gemara doesn't understand, I mean, how David could be the one that's going to make these decisions. So what's the pshat? Especially since we're going to see that he, Bedavka, was careful not to allow any of his own lover's children, which was Yonatan, and his children didn't get involved in this. Is that fair? So Gemara is going to ask all of this. So my shnahani, so first of all, why Dafka these children? So Amar Rav Huna, no, he didn't, Chas v'Shalom, he didn't choose them. Hevirum lifnei Aaron. He took all of the children of Shaul's family, brought them in front of the Oren HaBris, and kol sha'aron kol tolamita. So whoever the Oren grabbed and couldn't move away, that meant that he was supposed to be hung up. And kol sha'ein aron kol tolachayim. Matziv Rav Chana bar Katina, how can you say that it was all a function of the Oren? Then why does it say in the Pasuk, Vayachem mol ha-melech ha-mipiboshet ben Yonatan ben Shaul? And what do you mean? I thought you said that it was up to the Oren. No, it is up to the Oren, but he didn't bring him, you see. So the Oren could never have gotten him. So therefore, these were selected and not the children of Yonatan. What do you mean? But that's not fair. I mean, how did he have a right to do that? You're telling me that this is fair? This is correct? That he should not even give them an opportunity to be selected? That's not fair. Ella, you're right. The truth is he did pass over all of the children, including the children of Yonatan. And the Orion actually did grab Mipiboshet. And David HaMelech was mevakesh alav rachamim, that the Oren should let him go. Upolto, and it let him go. So how does that help? It's still not fair. Because, I mean, basically, he's saying, let someone else die, and not Yonatan's son. So, v'chimasu panim yesh davar, it's still a problem. So, v'akati masu panim yesh b'davar, ela shebikesh rachamim shelo yikletenu. He was mevakesh that the ones that should be chosen should not include Yonatan. Then he leaves it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it was already chosen, he's going to say, put someone else there instead of Yonatan. That's improper. But how does this whole thing make sense? I thought that God does not punish children for the sins of their fathers. Isn't that like a major yesod in the Torah? Lo yumtu avot al banim, ubanim lo yumtu al avot, which we take to mean not just in terms of the halachic aspect, which is the din of edut, but also in terms of the morality. How do you punish the children because of Beit Damim? I mean, we didn't do anything to the Givonim. We weren't even born then. I mean, what are you blaming the children for? Om Reb Chiya Bar Ava, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, you're right. It's against the halacha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu went against the halacha. Why? Mutav sheteyaker ot achat min haTorah v'al yitchalel shem shomayim befarhesya. Now, it isn't that Chas v'Chalila HaKadosh Baruch Hu went against the halacha, because he would never do that. But remember that Beis Din has the right to do that, as the Rambam paskens. A Beis Din that completely goes against the din in the Torah because of a tzorach hasha'ah, a hora'at sha'ah, is mutter. So over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted with the same kayach of Beis Din. It's the Beis Din Shalmala that decided that because of the fact about that, this is classic. You think the propaganda against us begins only today? It was like this all the time. CNN was had a whole kinds of articles and katavot on, look at the Jews, that they go ahead and they look how they treat the gerim. These poor people wanted to be part of the Jewish people. Look how they were treated. They were left to die of starvation. Blah 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 blah, and so on and so forth. So things were no different then. So in order to counter the Chilul Hashem of such a reputation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what can you do? We have to show that we are in fact going out of our ways to take care of these Givonim, so that's the way they do it. So Mutav Shetayakarot Achat Min HaTorah V'Ayit Chalel Shem Shamayim B'Farhesya. So what happened? Ritzpa Bat Ayah, she takes Vatikach Ritzba Batayat Asak Vatateula Elatzur Mitchilat Katsir Adi Tachmayim Aleim Mina Shamayim Velonatna Ofa Shamayim Lanuach Aleim Yomam Vechayat Asadel Laila. So she spent all the entire period, she lived out there with those bodies hanging so that they shouldn't be in a matzav of Bizayon. She didn't allow any animals or any birds to get close to those bodies. And that was done until the rains began at the end of the season. And then the rains beginning was a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, had been mechaper on the Yisrael, and that was the end of the Ra'av. But Isn't it usur to leave bodies hanging? V'aktiv lo talin nivlato ala eitz? Om Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yod Tzadok. Yes, but again, mutav shetei akerot achat min haTorah v'yitkadesh shem shamayim b'farhesya. So this was already a psak bezdin. This was not that the Oren selected them, right? So there, the bezdin decided that this is going to be gerim, a tremendous kiddush Hashem, and therefore, even though it's so patently unfair and such a bizoyan hames and an iser diraisa, nonetheless, the outcome is so beneficial in terms of kiddushim shamayim that we have to do this, and therefore, Rashayu. Ovrim v'shavim omrim, everyone who passed by would ask, what in the world is this? What is this, Iran? So people would say, these are b'nei malachim, this is from the royal family. So they would ask, ma'asu? So what did they do that was so terrible? Pashtu yadeim begerim grurim. They didn't properly treat phony gerim. Phony gerim? Ein lecha umashu hu yali hidabek bakazu? Oh my God! Uma b'nei melachim kach? If they treat the royal family this way for handling geirim like this, had yotot alachat kama v'kama, imagine how they must treat a regular person in the street who doesn't know how to treat a geir properly. Uma geirim grurim kach? And if this is the way they treat phony geirim, a real Yisrael, a complete Ger, was a complete Yisrael, halakat kama v'kama, miyad nitos fo Yisrael, 150,000 people joined up Klal Yisrael at that point because of this story. And we see that from the Pasuk itself, because it says in the Pasuk, v'yihi l'shlomo. All of a sudden, Shlomo is coming to build the Beit HaMikdash, so he has all of this incredible manpower. So this was the, what do they call it, human resources. Anyway, the guy in charge of human resources at this time was like really had an easy job because people came following him, right? Vayile Shlomo Shivim Elev Nosei Sabal. So he had 70,000 Sabalim. He had 80,000 Chotzvei Bahar, 80,000 miners, all of which, not miners with an O, but miners with an E, and they were all part of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Where did you get all these people from? That's where they came from. So these were the new Chotvei Etzim, so to speak. These were also Geirim Gerurim, because they couldn't really accept them at that point, right? So... well, how do you know? It doesn't say they were slaves. I mean, it just says he hired them. I don't know where he hired them. Maybe they were itinerant workers. Maybe they came from China. What do I know? V'dilma dugzar bi'alma elamiyacha. V'yasaper Shlomo kol anashim hagerim. Amazing pasuk. So, because what we said before, that's in Malachim. But if you take a look at the same story and that appears in Divrei Hayomim, it says Beferish, Shlomo HaMelech took a census of people who had made themselves gerim. So it says, V'yispor Shlomo kol ha'anashim ha'gerim asher b'eretz Yisrael, acharei ha'sefar asher sefaram David Aviv, v'yimbatsu 150,000. Okay. So these were the 150,000. That's the point. So it says Beferish that they were actually from a Geirut. Remember, we didn't really accept Geirim at that time, but people made themselves Geirim. So there it says, indeed, Vayas me'em shivim elef, sabal shmonim elef chotzev bahar. Ask the Gemara, now, wait a minute here. You're telling me that the Netinim is a Gezerah of David HaMelech, but I thought this was an ancient Gezerah of Moshe Rabbeinu, because doesn't it say Beferish in the Pasuk, Mechotev Eitzecha Achoev Bemecha. That's the same lotion that Yoshua uses later on when he has an equivalent story. So apparently there were also, as Rashi says there were in Chumash, there were also Goyim that did the same thing be Mei Moshe. And there he made them already. So this original, of course, the Netinim, the Givonim, only came later in the time of Yoshua. But since we see that there was already a standing Gezerah, that people that become phony Geirim, So then if they fooled Klal Yisrael, this is the halacha, that's what Yoshua does. So that means the original Gezerah was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. So why do you say David was Gozer? And besides that, we're going to see there were later Gezerahs. Answers the Gemara, well, Moshe was Gozer for his generation, and then David came along. What do you mean, and then David came along? But we find Yoshua also was Gozer. True. Yoshua Gazar only Bizman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam. And David was Gozer Bizman Shein Beit HaMikdash Kayam. Now what's interesting is that in the days of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, they wanted to be Matir the Netinim. How could they be Matir the Netinim if it was already Gezerah of the Bezdin at the time of David? Because they were going to be Mafkir the Avdut. And Bezdin has a right to do Hefker Bezdin Hefker. They don't have to undo the Gezerah. So again, over here the question is, if we're talking about the issue of the Isser Chatnut, so then that's not the point. This is what the Rabbeinu Tam says. If the Isser Chatnut is a derivation automatically of the fact that we make them Avadim, so then it becomes Lo Yeh Kadesh. So then if you remove the status of Avdut, then it will be possible to marry them. And then if you don't know that, so it could be that they only wanted to take off the status of Avdut, but didn't want to change the status of the Isser. Okay? They couldn't, according to Rabbeinu Tam, remember, because it was the Oraita. In any event, he wanted to be Matir. They wanted to be Matir in his days. So Rebbe said to them, listen, even if we're Mafkir, our Chelek, and they won't be Avodim to us anymore, but Chelek Mizbeach Miatir, who is going to be able to say that despite the fact that David HaMelech gave them over to the Mizbeach Hashem, and that's why they were Nov Ira Kohanim even from before, from the time of Yoshua, and he extended it. So how can we don't own that. That's owned by Hegdash. So we can't be Matir it. Now that response of Rebbe shows that he disagrees with Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Because the Omer Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Omer Reb Yochanan, actually, the chelek of the Edah is osur even bizman hazeh. But the chelek amizbeach was never prohibited even up front, unless there was a Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, the Chelek HaMizbeach, Bizman SheBeit HaMikdash Kayam, then it's Osir. Ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, then it's Mutter anyway. So this was the approach that, according to Reb Chiya Bar Abba, would have, of course, negated any kind of discussion, like Rebbe was saying. Chelek HaMizbeach, there was no Chelek HaMizbeach. And now we're ready for a very important moment on the day of the yard site itself, in which where it's an Aliyah's Neshama. Speak out once again, Yitch Richie. Aliyah's Neshama for Gedaliah Ben Tuvia in the Aliyah's HaMishnah Befi, his grandson. Son. Oh, my Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua says, I am so confused because on the one hand, Shamati Shasaris Choletz, I heard that someone who is sterile does Chalitza, and I heard that also if he dies, that we do Chalitza to his wife. Now that's a little bit weird, remember, because we said before that in order to do Yibum, you have to be capable of having children. Because the Torah said, Al Shem Achiv Amet, Yokum Al Shem Achiv Amet. So if you can't have children, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. But if you can't do Yibum, then you can't do Chalitza, because Kalol Al Yibum Al Chalitza. Furthermore, remember that a Sariz doesn't require his wife, if he dies, doesn't require Yibum, because it says, V'lo Yimachesh Mo Mi Yisrael. But if he's incapable of having children, So Prat Vazush Shmo Machoy, he's already Yimach Shmo Yisrael. We had this whole discussion before. So I don't know, but I was makabel that there is a case where we do Chalitza. And the Soros himself does Chalitza. But on the other hand, I was also taught, as you just explained, that the Soros cannot do Chalitza because he can't have children. Velo Cholzin Leishto, and he's not Mechayev Chalitza if he dies because Shmo Machoy. And I don't understand what's going on. Eli Lefarish. I can't figure out when one would be correct and when the other would be correct. Om Rebbe Akiva. Let me explain this to you, my dear. Ani Afarech. I'll explain it, okay? It depends. If he's a Saris Adam, now I must point out to you that we're using the words in a way that are not consistent with the halacha as we've explained them until now. A Saris Adam in this case does not necessarily mean a Saris Adam. It just means someone who was not congenitally infertile, but a Saris Chama, in this case, again, does not simply mean that the infertility was caused by something min hashamayim, like a fever or what else, right? It means someone who was congenitally infertile. Otherwise, the whole discussion doesn't make sense, so it's not the standard definition, but we'll talk about it as we go on over here. So let me explain. If he's a Saris Adam, which means that there was a time that he could have had children, and then this accident happens, and now he becomes infertile due to damage to his genitals. So now the din is, he does chalitza. I mean, obviously he can't do yibum because it's usur for him to sleep with this person, with his yavama. So he can't be miyabim because he's a betzua daka. Furthermore, since once upon a time he could have had children, therefore, he's included in the Lo Yimach Eshmo, and if he dies, Chotzin Le'ishto, we will give Chalitza to his wife because of the fact that it was possible for him to have children. Saris Chama, who here we're talking about not literally Saris Chama, but basically someone who was congenitally, was born already as a Soris. So there, we say, and again, this the best explanation here is the Saris Chama. Remember, we were wondering what Saris Chama meant. So Saris Chama, the Pashas means, never saw the light of the sun, meaning that before he was born, he was already a Saris. So that is a way of saying congenitally. However, very interesting, we're going to see at the end of the sugya that we could still use the explanation of Saris Chama, meaning due to heat. And this was congenital, but only because it was a damage that was caused in utero due to excessive heat. And as we know, the most sensitive part of your body to heat are testicles, which is the reason that testicles have to hang out outside of the body, because they need to cool. And therefore, the damage to genitals are caused by heat as one possibility. So Sri's Chama is actually has both Pirushim over here. Okay, but let's assume for a moment that the idea over here is that it means that at the moment that he's born, which is what it's referring to, there he does not do chalitza, lo chalitz, velo chotzin l'ishto, mipnei shelo hayta lo sha'at ha'kosher. Since it says, lo yimach eshmo miYisrael, and this person never could have had children. So therefore, he's not included in requiring chalitza, because shmo machui, and he cannot do the chalitza, because of the fact that he has to be able to be making shame. And he's not able to be making shame because it says, Vaya b'chor asher teleit. By the way, remember that even though Vaya b'chor asher teleit, the drusha on that pasuk is that the oldest brother, in other words, so it doesn't mean the first child to be born from the yibum. It means the b'chor of the mother of these two sons, one of whom just died. So the Bechor Asher Teleit means the oldest one of her. But since it says it, Beloshen Atid, it says Asher Teleit, it also has to be a remez to the child that will be born, which means it must be possible for a child to be born. Since over here he's infertile, it's not possible for a child to be born. So therefore, that is the difference. says Rabbi Akiva, it's all very clear. If he was congenitally infertile, so then inochinami lo choletz v'lo choltzit. If he became infertile afterwards, then choletz v'choltzit. That's my approach. Says Rabbi Eliezer, I disagree. I say that in fact the Shri's Chama is choletz, and you do chalitza to his wife, because if the problem is a congenital problem, there is a way for it to get fixed. And therefore, since it's theoretically possible for him to have children, so fine. He has to go ahead and do Yibum. And also, we don't say Shbo Machui. Masha Enkein Esris Adam, Lo Choletz V'lo Choltzin L'Ishto, in the event that this was actual physical damage to the genitals through an accident, or somebody actually went out to emasculate him, so Ein Lo Refuah. Therefore, even though once upon a time he had a Sha'at HaKosher, that, says Rabbi Eliezer, is not of any meaning, a Sha'at HaKosher. Everything is defined by the current circumstances. And therefore, he's not Choletz, and Ein Chotzin Lishtor is the exact opposite of Rabbi Akiva. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Betera. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Betera says, I know there was a guy, Ben Megusat, who was in Yerushalayim, and he was a Sris Adam, and they did Yibum to his wife. So that shows, I'm saying this Edut, L'kayem divrei Rabbi Akiva. And indeed, this is the way we pasken, that a Sris Adam, who once had a time that he could have had children, there's a din of chalitza, and he can also do chalitza, both directions, and it's the kayem divrei Rabbi Akiva, which in fact is the way that we pasken. Hasaris lo choletz v'lo miyabim. So now, this, according to Rabbi Akiva, now we're koveya this in the Mishnah. So the saris, who is a saris chama, is not choletz and not miyabim, and that's true about a female who is sterile. So v'chein ailonit, so we said the same thing. There's no chalitza, because since it says v'haya b'chor asher teled, and she cannot have leda, and therefore she's not mityabemet, so kola ola leyibum, ola lechalitza. But if she's not ola leyibum, ain't ola lechalitza either. So therefore the island is in the same halacha. And therefore it goes in both directions. So asaritz, what happens in the event that asaritz does give chalitza? Nothing. The chalitza is as if it never happened. And therefore she can marry a kohen, even though normally a kohen is also in a chalitza. How about if the Saris sleeps with her? Well, then he passes her. Because if we're talking about over here the Saris Chama, so then we're dealing with a situation of a Isser Bia. And therefore, since it's an Isser Bia, he passes her in a Kuna, because lo yavo b'tzua daka. Now he's called a b'tzua daka. Now I must point out to you that this is not absolutely true. Because remember, we're not using the standard definitions here of Sris Chama and Sris Adam. So therefore, it isn't really so that just because he was not congenitally a Soris, he could have been not congenitally a Soris and still not be a Petsuah Daka, because he could have been a Soris due to illness, which we said before is a din of Sris Chama also. Which would mean that there is a theoretical possibility if in such a case that according to Rabbi Akiva, that in Ochinami, there would be no problem, and he could even do chalitza, even do yibum, not only chalitza, which we're going to be discussing sort of obliquely in a moment in the Gemara. Okay, now, suppose he actually, the same thing would be true about an islandess. If they did chalitza, it doesn't register. And this island is, it remains Kshera Lekuhuna. And she's not called a Chalutza. Now, if one of the brothers actually has intercourse with her, Be'alua, so then he does passel her. Because she is Mamish and Isser Kores. She's an Eshet Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah. And an Eshet Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah is an Erva. And therefore, of course, she's passel. Yes. But that has nothing to do with the Yibum. Okay, now the problem is that all of this does not make sense if you're claiming, as the Mishnah claims, that it's Rabbi Akiva. Because remember, it's all very nice to say there's a difference in that you can't do chalitza or yibum. The problem is, you can't do yibum, but you do chalitza. The problem is that, remember, Rabbi Akiva is being inconsistent with another Rabbi Akiva. Because look, remember Shamina Rabbi Akiva? Remember that Rabbi Akiva said that Chayvei Lavim are exactly the same as Chiyuv Karas? Remember that Rabbi Akiva said, Yesh Mamzerim Michayvei Lavim? So then if that's the case, then if there's Chayev Krisos, what would be the din? Do you do Chalitza to Chayvei Krisos? No. Because since the Torah was Mafkia them from the Chiyuv of Yibum, so therefore there's no Chalitza either, right? But according to Rabbi Akiva, a Chiyuv Lav, Tzvadaka's a Lav, a Chiyuv Lav is the same as an Erva. So then why would we ever say there's no Yibum, but there is Chalitza? There should be no Chalitza either. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is not being consistent with his own Shita. Chayvei Krisos is Lav Bnei Chalitza Yibum, you know, and he's saying it's the same thing as a Chiyuv Karas. Omer Rabbi Ami. Well, what we'll have to say over here is that the brother who died was married to a Gioret, and Rabbi Akiva must told, like Rabbi Yossi we saw before, and Rabbi Yossi holds Kahal Geirim Lo Ikri Kahal. There's no Isser of Lo Yavo Bekal Hashem in a Kahal Geirim, and over here, the brother was married to a Gioret. I understand. So then if that's the case, why does he say you don't do Yibum? Then you should do Yibum also. Why does he say you do Chalitza and not Yibum? I don't understand. Enochinami. The truth is that Rabbi Akiva holds you can do Yibum. Now, this is what I mentioned earlier, the oblique reference, is that since Rabbi Akiva was talking about here a different definition of a Sris Chama and a Sris Adam Richi, this is supposed to be Aliyat Neshama for your father and you're not showing your face. What are you doing, man? So in that case, the fact is that all along we knew that there were sneaky cases where, of course, you could have done Yibum also. And this is another sneaky case. Because here we're talking about, we're saying you're married to Gioret, and the truth is, according to Rabbi Akiva, if he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that Kal Gerim, so then he should be able to do Yibum. And the truth is, Rabbi Akiva all along was not really saying that you can't do Yibum. The only reason he mentioned Choltzin is because Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Yehuda that Kahal Geirim is considered to be Kahal, and therefore Betzuadaka would be Usser. So according to Rabbi Yehoshua, that is true, and so is the fact that an Isser Koras is not the same as an Isser Lav. An Isser Lav there would be. So therefore, in order to clarify, you, Rabbi Yehoshua, say that you can't, and I say that you can. You do Chalitza, but the truth is he really holds you do Yibum too. Daikanami, I'll prove to you that we're not being very careful when we talk about Chalitza as opposed to Yibum. We're not really being careful in meaning Dafka, we mean Chalitza, not Yibum, because look, look at the Mishnah, the part where Rabbi Yehoshua ben Batera talks about the case of this guy, Ben Megusat, who was a Sris Adam, and when he died, they did Yibum to his wife, L'kayem Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Over there it says they did Yibum, okay? So obviously we mean you can do Yibum. I mean, otherwise, why do we bring in a case of Yibum to prove Rabbi Akiva? And so you see that it's not really, when we talk about Chalitza, we don't mean only Chalitza. Fine, Shmamina, you're right. Now, the problem is that you're saying that a Saris Adam would only work where the brother would do Chalitza, where the brother was married to Gioret. But that's not true. Because take a look at this Braita. And this Braita is going Davka Liba the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, as we'll see. It quotes his din. A Pitsua Dakar, a Krot Shavcha, who is a Sris Adam. Or a Zaken. If this guy is too old to father children, so he's no longer viral. So then, viral, o chotzin o miyabim, they still do chalitza or yibum. Meaning, ketzad, if they die. So then if they have wives and they have brothers, so then if the brothers go along, if the brothers give ma'amar, then they need a get. If they gave a get, then they're not going to be able to do yiba. They're only going to be able to do chalitza. If they did chalitza, so then they're not going to be able to do yibam anymore. Masha asasri, and you won't need anything but a get in the event that anybody went ahead and tried to marry them anyway. Be'isr. So masha asasri, it's good. It was a good chalitza. It passed them with the get, with the mimer. They need the mimer. They need a get for their mimer, and so on. And what's more, imbalu kanu, if they went ahead and slept with them, so then it's perfectly okay. That means that they took off the Zika, and now, if you're going to want to divorce them, obviously you can't use chalitza, you use a regular get. Now, by the way, the only reason we said if, it's not really an if, because we're talking about over here where the guy who died was the one who was the Soris, and they are perfectly okay. The brothers, they're allowed to do chalitz. The only we're using the word if they went ahead is because of the next case. But the truth is they can do yibam l'chatchila. Now, suppose the brothers, one of these brothers of these Zokain or Soris died, and they, these Zakanim or Srisim, get up and they do mimer, or they gave a get, or they did chalitza, so they're too masha sasri. And if they did, now they're not supposed to, at least in the case of the Srisim, because we're talking about a Sris Adam, who are usher, if they did a bia, then it b'diavad, it's still kaina. But they're not allowed to keep these wives, because every time they sleep with them, they're going to be over on the Yisra, lo yavo p'tzua dadka, ukrot shavcha b'kal Hashem. Note b'kal Hashem. I thought you said we're talking about Kaal Gerim here. So obviously, this, going according to Rabbi Akiva, is saying, even in the event that it is a Kal Hashem, they're not married to a Giora, they're married to a Kahal, I'm a Bekalaskin. And you're telling me the only case is where we was married to a Giora. So we're back to our problem. Since, according to Rabbi Akiva, an Isser Lav is the equivalent of Isser Kores, and here we're talking about not a giyard, we're talking about the Isser Lav of Lo Yavo Pitzua Daka B'Kal Hashem, there should be no Yibum or Chalitza. I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. So now Rabbi Akiva is inconsistent, and we cannot use the answer that they were married to a giyard. Okay, what's the answer? Oh, says Rabbah, okay, you're right. Where he said that you do Chalitza is talking about where, at the time that she fell to Yibum, he was not yet involved in that accident that caused him to become infertile. And therefore, since the Zika took place at that time, at the moment that she fell to him, so now that he becomes usher subsequently, it will not be enough to remove a Zika that was chal before. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is being consistent when he said that it's the same as an Isser Karet. Okay, that is true. But only if at the time that she fell to Yibam, there was an Isser Lav. But over here, at the time she fell to Yibam, there was no Isser Lav. Omale Abai, excuse me, there's no such halacha. Because even if it happened afterwards, if you hold that Petsua Daka is the equivalent of an Erava, so then the Isser Petsua Daka is Deicha, the Chiyav of Yibam, even if it comes afterwards. Did you forget that whole amazing story? Remember, we had two brothers who were married to two sisters, and one of these sisters was a child bride who had been married not because of her father, so it was only Darabonan who provide marriage for little girls in order to protect them from predators. And now the question is, a third brother died, and a third brother was there, and now the sister falls, after he dies, falls to him for Yibum, and now this is a problem. So his wife falls to Yibum. Now the problem is that the brother to whom the real sister fell, to this brother, he's got an Achot Skukato. And the Achot Skukato is a little girl. So if we can get rid of the little girl, then we don't have a problem, right? He's married to the little sister. So the Tanakhama said, well, let's offer the little girl a lollipop to say that she doesn't like him, and that annuls the marriage, right? And then there's no problem. But remember that Rabbi Gamliel says, if she wants to walk out on him with Miyun, she can, but why should we encourage it? When she grows up, then the marriage will automatically convert to a Diraisa marriage and will cancel the marriage to the Chiyav of Yibum to the sister that falls B'Diraisa, who was really married, because now she's an actual Achot, not just an Achot Zkukato, right? So you see from there that the Isser Achot Isha is Docha, even if it comes later. So the same thing be true over here. The Isser Petsua Daka that takes place after this guy has this accident should now cancel Azika, even if it was Chal from before. Therefore, that's wrong, what you said, the way Rabbi explained Rabbi Akiva. Elam Rabbi Yosef. Remember, we had a machlokas what Rabbi Akiva said. There's three different shitas in Rabbi Akiva. One shita in Rabbi Akiva is that he said any Isserlah. Rabbi Simoy's approach to Rabbi Akiva was not Isserei Kuhuna. But then we had the Tana that says that Rabbi Akiva only asered chayve lavim disha'er, only chayve lavim where there was a something to do with a relationship. Over here, having crushed testicles has nothing to do with the relationship. Because of that, the Isser of Rabbi Akiva of Alav is not the same as an Isser Karet, and he never was talking about this. So, Michaive Lavin, Grede, so only Chaive Lavin de She'er is it a mom. So, Michaive Lavin, Grede is not an issue at all. But wait a minute. I mean, why does the Yavama of Asoris require Chalitza at all? Doesn't it say that the only time that you need is to do, he's saying Asoris, just because he used to be fertile, right? So, therefore he should do Chalitza. He can't be making Lachiv Shem. It says Lachim Lachiv Shem, and he can't do that. Lav Barachihu. So, I mean, bottom line is functionally speaking. So why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say, even if he used to be capable of having children, but he doesn't have that ability now? It says, Lakim Shem Lachiv. Omar Rava, because it doesn't go according to what he is now, it goes according to what he once was. And I'll prove it to you. Because Ein Lecha, if you're going to say this, that it goes according to his immediate situation at the time of death, I challenge you to show me one human being who at the instant of his death is capable of fathering children. That would be quite a trick, let me tell you. I mean, forget about the guy's being 80 years old or 100 years old. He may be 20 years old, but the moment before he dies, he's certainly not going to be able to father any children. And therefore, no woman should ever fall to Yibum, because after all, this guy a minute before dying was already not Shmo Machuis. Obviously, that's insane. What it means is that while he was married during the course of his lifetime, he could have theoretically had children and he didn't. And therefore, you're supposed to make him shame. So obviously, it's important that there was a Shah Achas. Because if you don't know the Shah Achas, so then you only look at the last minute. So then, Ein Lecha Isha Shekshera Liyava. Because Sholna Sebalas Riz Chama Shah Achat Kodom Lemitato. You definitely have that situation. That's a good point. So, I mean, doesn't that disprove Rabbi Eliezer? That's a good point. So how can Rabbi Eliezer say we don't care about the fact that he once was capable of fathering children? Well, obviously we do. No, says Rabbi Eliezer. Oh, come on, please. The idea over here is that it's kechishuta da'atchila be. Over there, he's getting weak because of the approaching death. That's all. It's not a situation that affects fertility. It's a situation that affects general strength, and therefore he can't father children, obviously. But what does that have to do with fertility? And therefore, it's irrelevant, your argument. It's a silly argument.